Before we jump in, a warning that we are an explicit book podcast.
Yes, that means swearing, shitty jokes, and a whole lot of dark humour that some may take offence to.
Please check your trigger warnings on all of the books we cover.
You've been warned.
The episode starts in 3, 2, 1.
A book and a bear.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of A Book and a Bev.
Oh.
ASMR edition.
We should do one of those.
Attention, soldiers, and welcome back to our favourite place on Earth. Not inside Bo's asshole, but Chestnut Springs itself. Sorry. Maybe I'm the only one that wants to get inside his asshole.
I'd hop in there. We're just in there. We're holding hands in his asshole.
It's like the Harry Potter elevator where it's like...
Oh my God. Yes, like the rides.
Like the wedgie at Waterworld or Wild or whatever it is where it's like the tube and just...
That's exactly what's
and
happening.
It's us.
But up inside his arsehole.
God. He's at the end of the water slide.
End of the water slide.
Ready bending for over. Us.
Cheek presenting. Spread. And we
such
stick
a
the
strong
landing.
Start.
We are back to cover the final book in the series, and that is Hopeless by Elsie Silver, the one and only the queen. We love you. It's a broken bow book, so strap the fuck in, salute your captains, salute inside your captains if you're already up in them, and let's fucking go. What are we drinking?
So I am drinking what I'm calling Bailey's bathwater, aka a White Claw seltzer.
Slay. Just needs a little bit of hair in it now.
Just some
booby kick.
I am drinking what I'm going to say is the Rose Hill Red that Bo and Jasper share together. That's what
it's
I'm drinking.
Thematic. We'll take it. Mine is a Suffering Bastard cocktail, which is bourbon, gin, lime juice, ginger ale, and bitters. It sounds right up my alley, honestly. It's actually
quite
good.
Yummy. Well, look, I'm never on theme recently, you know, so I thought I'm going to stick to what I know, which is not being on theme. So my drink tonight is called Hopeless. And basically what it is chocolate milk in a fancy glass because I am hopeless, but I'm fancy hopeless in a fancy glass. So it's got the stars. Hopeless.
Stunning.
I just really wanted an excuse to drink chalky milk. So. And what did we think of the book, ladies?
Quite simply, this book makes me want to combust. I was hanging out for a broken bow. We all know I love a traumatized man. And damn, like this book was so bloody good. And Bailey just like absolutely destroying his remaining peace of mind with her audacity is worth its weight in gold. The humor in these books is also one of my favorite things to ever exist. Whether it's Harvey talking about milking goats or just like the men collectively doing the nose pinch laugh when the woman kills them sends me. It's so good. I did love the references Bailey would make to pop culture and even just like the phrasing that she used. She felt like a friend and that made her story so much more compelling. She felt like one of us. I did see the quote unquote twist for the third act coming, but I did not see the feet or the shaving coming. That is my only criticism. It took me a moment to process what was happening and like I could understand the feet cream. That made sense. But why on God's green earth was the shaving necessary?
It's intimacy, Briny.
We will
I would
get
let
into
him
it.
Shave my puss
hairy,
any day.
Hairy pubis.
Some
he
of us
could
can't
shave away any fucking day. I'll spread those legs.
Yeah, I'll spread myself wide open. He can get on
I'll
in
I'll leave it for fucking years for him to come.
Chainsaw.
This was my most anticipated read for this year, and let me fucking tell you, it did not disappoint. I am a massive hoe for Bo, and I'll say that loud and proud. I'm on my fucking knees for this man. This book was everything I needed and more. I honestly can't even put into words how much I adored this story and felt so in love with Bo. The way I was out here thinking no one could be Cade or Theo for me, and then in Waltz's traumatized Bo and his filthy motherfucking mouth, and I was sold. I am honestly still shocked and I'm not over it. This was absolute perfection and I'm so sad that this series is over. Honestly, I will never get over it, but forever one of my absolute favourites.
Big slay.
Big slay. Elsie Silver slay.
El slay.
Chesley Springs?
Chesley Springs! Chesley Springs.
This was also one of my most anticipated reads of 2023. The book was so good and I'm yet to recover. Bo is every bit the traumatised hero that I was waiting on. Paired with our gal Bailey, who's been beaten down over the years because of her shitty family, I'm simply obsessed. I'm so sad that this is the end of Chestnut Springs.
Chestnut Springs.
But I am so ready for the next series. Look, I'm blushing.
No,
we're blushing at the mere thought of that bathwater.
He's in there with his scuba gear.
He's literally got his snorkel on under the bath water. Everybody's making noises. Dun, 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 dun. He's coming at her with the razor.
He's grabbing her toes underneath the water.
Not the toes!
Anyway, oh dear God. Beau motherfucking Eaton. All right. This book is friends to lovers, small town, traumatized hero, fake fiance, and the gasp I fucking gasped. I'm the same with everyone else. I never thought that someone would replace Theo and Cade, but Beau, again, I'm officially a hoe for Beau. How did we have all the same notes? If you're looking for a book with a once golden retriever turned traumatized hero with an absolute filthy mouth paired with a shy small town girl with severe confidence issues, this is for fucking you, all right? The way our two MCs fit so well together, I have never seen a match so perfect. This book was sexy, brilliant, and delved into an understanding of trauma in different shapes and sizes with so much tenderness. It was absolutely worth every ounce of hype it is getting and will continue to get. And all I have to say to end this is, so long as you're wearing that ring, that pussy is mine.
That will forever be my favorite quote.
And someone give me a fucking ring so that I can be a cowboy's
getting
pussy.
Getting married.
I'd sacrifice any limb, my body and soul.
Caitlin's living the dream. We're strapping the fuck in and we're beginning. So just to remind everyone who this book is about, we've got our MMC, which is Beau Eaton, loudmouth military middle child. But this Ken now comes with bonus PTSD to feature to boot. He's currently embodying Bella in New Moon, seeking emotional hits and singing "It's a Possibility" out a window. Then we've got Bailey Jansen, girl from the wrong side of the tracks, just trying to make ends meet, and she's not used to good things, so has no expectations for that. You've got your usual roster of Eatons, you know, Harvey, Cordelia, Cade, Willa, Luke, and Emma, because they're the little family of four now. And then you've got Rhett and Summer, and Jasper and Sloan. And then we've got the Jansons as well, but I literally blacked out their names because I hate them so much. So,
like, do we even know their names?
We don't need to, honestly.
Yeah, then nothing to me.
Irrelevant.
Irrelevant.
So we start off with our sweet baby Beau. He's wandering the streets by himself. He's just contemplating life. He's being like a little depressed baby. We know immediately that he is not like the other men that we have met in this series. He is a sweet, traumatized soul. And we get this quote. "Yes, I was JTF2, Canada's elite special ops force. Yes, I knowingly missed our transport out to save a prisoner of war. Yes, I was missing in action for weeks and was in a rough shape when they found me. I'm still in rough shape. People love to talk about it." Everyone's basically obsessed with him, and same.
Yeah.
Same. While he's wandering the streets, you know, he's contemplating his life right now and what he wants to do. He thinks, actually, the best thing to do right now would be to go to what he calls is the best bar in Chestnut Springs, the Rail Spur, to have himself a drink. While he's at this bar, this is where we then meet Gary, who's just the regular drunk at the bar, and our main gal, the star of the show, sweet Bailey. We get this little quote about her. "Sadly, born into the least respected family in town, her dad and brothers have dabbled in it all. Drugs, prison, theft, and her mum took off years ago. Worst of all, their land borders ours. I can see it from my house on the ranch, just off the other side of the river, where I've put up barbed wire fences so those assholes know when to turn back around. AKA, all I'm taking from this is that they're motherfucking neighbours and we're excited." We're excited for Pound Town.
Yeah.
Not with the Otto brothers.
Yeah.
Basically, Bailey was brought into a shit family and is looked down on by everyone, which is not a fucking slay. During this time that Beau is at the bar, Gary, the tithead that he is, can't keep his mouth shut and was like, "Hey, heard you got burned. Not the tan I'd be hoping for. Haha, lol." Like, Gary, shut the fuck up and read the room. Bailey tries to intervene in this moment and get Gary to shut the fuck up, but Beau is so used to it by now that he's like, fuck it, and shares that he did get third-degree burns on his feet and has had skin grafts. His feet be burning. After this, Beau comes into the bar every single day for a drink from our girl Bailey. And we are sobbing already at this point. One day, Gary, as as per usual, can't keep his fucking mouth shut and is like, so what did you do when you spent those 2 weeks stuck in the desert? And Bo's like, try to stay alive, you cunt. After this, things get heated pretty quickly, and before we know it, Bo's smashing his beer on the floor and he's ready to box on with Gazza.
Jesus, that's so Australian of you.
But before any of that can happen, Bailey is intervening and sends both men into timeout. Bailey is telling our naughty boy Bo off outside. Bo's trying to sober up and he's like, okay, I fucked up. He apologizes for letting things get out of hand, and Bailey's like, look, it's fine. You're an Eden. You can get away with murder. Little does Bailey know that Bo will be murdering that pussy.
Oh my god.
I had to do it. I
had to do it to him.
In this moment, Bo opens up to Bailey and says the only reason he comes to the bar every single day to drink is because it helps him sleep at night, because he's a sweet, traumatized baby angel.
Baby angel.
Bailey's like, nope, this just won't do. I'm making you a chamomile tea to help you sleep. And that's exactly what she does. As the night goes on, it ends up just being Bailey at the bar with all the other workers going home. Bo realizes this and he literally stays all fucking night at this bar so she is not alone. And this quote is the one, and I just remember this is like so early on, and this is when I knew this book would fucking destroy me. But he doesn't leave. He drinks tea at my bar for the rest of the night. For 2 hours, he sits there keeping watch. And when I kick everyone out at midnight and shut things down, he stays behind, silently guarding me. I am fucking sobbing.
Oh!
I'm fucking sobbing. Bo literally asks Bailey which days she works and makes sure that he is there every time she closes.
He's punctual.
A few days later, Bo is out working with Kate and he is just so unhappy he would rather be a cow than be out working those fields.
A moo moo.
I wish I were a cow. Wish I could find some joy in the monotony of ranch life. Instead, I'm restless and writhing. Trapped beneath the surface of the perfectly manufactured facade I slip on for the benefit of everyone around me. He's meant to be working with Cade, but he's like, nope, I can't do this, and pretends to get a phone call from Jasper, who needs him to leave immediately. Once he's left work, he calls Jasper to cover his tracks and heads straight to the bar to see our girl Bailey. And we get this beautiful quote: the place that I've come to associate with both peace and purpose. The stall at the end of Bailey Jansen's bar. Good night.
Tears.
Tears streaming down my face. We skip a bit further to that night. It's 1 minute past the last call. Bailey's shit cunt brothers and shittier friends come into the bar demanding a round on the house and start causing an absolute ruckus. Bailey stands up for herself because she's a strong, independent woman, which we love, but these guys just aren't having it, and one of her brother's friends actually lays a hand on her, which of course does not stand in Bo's books. He is there immediately. Bo grabs the guy's hand and literally says, remove your fucking hand or I'll do it for you.
Sweating.
Bo walks them all the fuck out of that bar. Later that night, Bailey's unable to sleep from the previous events and decides to go take a little dip in the river. That's just past the fence, aka Eaton Land. Let's go, baby.
Eaten up in that land, pussy.
Eaten up on that land.
Oh, she heads on down there and strips off. Of course, the moment we've all been waiting for arrives. Bo is also down there at the river while she's got her tits out. Big slay.
Tits out for the boys.
Tits out. Oh, boys. Tits out for the boys.
Only for one boy, and that's Bo.
They're at the river. They start having some D&Ms. Bailey explains that she's saving her pretty little pennies to get out of town and start her life fresh when no one knows who she is. Bo's like, what the fuck do you mean? You can make it here. And Bailey's like, babe, read the room. My family name is in the trenches and there's just no hope for me here.
Oh my god, a soldier pun.
She's in the trenches. In the trenches. Bo's like, being there. And then we get this quote: I've been blacklisted pretty much everywhere else in town. No matter how nice I dress, how perfect my resume is, how great my references are, no one wants to hire me.
Oh.
And those people can get fucked. Whoever's done that, they can get fucked.
And not in the good way.
No,
and obviously,
not by Bo.
Bo's just still trying to be like, little sweet Bobo. He's like, no, babe, like, come on. No, you're better than that. And she's like living in some sort of magical fairyland over there. Eaton, why don't you wave your hand, give me a different last name, and we'll put this theory to the test. Bo's like, okay, bet. I'll give you my last name and we'll see if people really do treat you differently. He's like, let's get engaged and plan a fake wedding to test this theory out. Like, duh.
Absolutely makes complete sense.
You know, and Bo's kind of thinking, look, this is low-key also a win for me because it'll get the family off his back as well. Like, keep wondering where he's at. It's fine. He's getting married. Bailey's like, okay, look, I'll sleep on it. We'll meet back here tomorrow night and we'll discuss. They meet back the following night and Bailey's like, look, twist me arm. Let's fucking do this thing. They go to Bo's house to discuss the rules of their engagement. And of course, they're like, no sex. Lol, famous last words. This is also when we find out that Bailey is a virgin.
A virgin.
There's been no he in the V. So they decide to make their first debut as a couple while Bailey is at work. Bo waltzes in and is all like, how goes it, sweet cheeks? And Gary is immediately like, what the fuck did you just say to her? And Bo's like, babe, haven't you heard the news? We're engaged. And Gary almost goes into cardiac arrest at this point. Gary points out the fact that Bailey isn't wearing a ring, but best believe a man has come prepared and whips out this amazing diamond ring that has Bailey almost passing the fuck out. And then we get this quote. That right there makes the ring worth the ridiculous price tag. I've saved my money for years and was never sure what I wanted to spend it on. This seemed like a worthy investment. This fucking man. This fucking man.
It's fine.
Like, we skip to the middle of the night. Bo has just woken up in panic. His feet are on fire.
The roof is on fire.
Somebody call 911. Shoddy fire burning on the dance floor. Oh, we find out that this happens every night at 2:11 a.m. We've got this quote. I have the same urge to fight, to run, to spring into action, but my body fails me and I end up crawling or dragging myself. I'm always in the desert. Micah is always there on the brink of death and I always feel like I need to save him. He decides to go cool off in the river, but of course he is not alone. Bailey's out hiding from her brothers who have apparently just found out about the engagement and tried to had tried to break into her trailer like the shit cunts they are. Because of this, Bailey says, like, nope, she's not going back to the trailer. She's going to sleep there at the river. And Bo's like, well, fine. If you're doing that, then I'm staying with you. So he stays and he holds her. And they're both just like, this is fine. It's just practice. Lol, hee hee.
Lol, hee hee, ha ha.
Lol, hee hee, ha 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 ha. Practice. Bailey wakes up in the morning to a nice surprise. It's Bo's morning wood coming to say hello. Bailey's like, okay, I like this. But before she can enjoy the moment any longer, Bo's like, sugar tits, are you pressing your ass against me?
Yes,
I am. He's awake. He's ready. Bailey's like, yes, so what? I'm fucking horny. It's fine. I thought we were practicing anyway. Like, what do you mean? And then Bo whips this out. Then tell me about how wet you are right now. Lose the sweater and let's see if your nipples are hard. You want to practice talking about sex? Let's practice.
And suddenly,
it's like a Katy Perry with a,
They're like vines coming for him. They grab him. Grab him by the face.
Oh my gosh. Because Bailey gives zero fucks, she takes a sweater off and Bo is like, I fucking knew it. Those nips are peaking.
Fucking knew it, California.
All right. And then we get one more cracker of a quote. Are you wet, Bailey? You are, aren't you? Tell me. Bailey's like, all right, I can't handle this. I'm horny as fuck. I need to go leave and clean myself up. So she runs the fuck out of there. She's like, this is getting too much for me. That night, Bo organizes a family dinner so they can tell everyone. Bailey says she'll have to walk over because she has 4 flat tires. Bo is over there immediately because he's like, this is sus as fuck. What's going on here? He comes over and Bailey is in tears. All of her shit has been destroyed and is thrown all over the yard by her brothers. She's also holding a stuffed horse, which has also been slashed apart and murdered.
Murdered in cold blood.
It's Naisley.
It just sounds like you're saying like old English. It was Naisley.
We are funny. Bo is like, now this just won't do. You're moving in with me. You're coming home with me. He moves Bailey's trailer into his yard when she tries to refuse. He's like, absolutely fucking not. If you're not going to move into my house, we can at least put your trailer in my yard. So she's like, eh, all right, fine. skip to further that night, we have the dinner with Beau's family. Beau hasn't actually told anyone and decides the best thing to do is just blindside them all. They walk in and everyone's like, what the fuck is happening? What a surprise. And Beau's like, well, if you think this is a surprise, buckle up because we're engaged.
So we kick off with Bailey being overwhelmed in public like me. It's basically because Jasper is sus as fuck of our two lovers. Everyone is super happy for them though, and Harvey makes a joke about Beau Bailey sounding like a Disney movie about two golden retrievers falling in love, and Bailey actually loses it. Like, she thinks it's fucking hilarious. Beau just goes absolutely goo goo gaga over our girl, and we get this quote. I move mere inches to the left, pressing a very real kiss to the corner of her mouth, missing her lips entirely. Some people might consider it a mistake. Some people can't tell what's real and what's not. But I did it on purpose. I did it to plant a seed. I did it because I don't think I want the first time we kiss to be fake.
Screaming, crying, throwing up.
The next night, they are both awake past 2:11. We know that Beau gets some nightmares and gets woken up at this time, but our girl is just like boiling hot in her camp. She's frying up in there like some fried eggs. She asks to touch his feet and he agrees.
Don't know why.
Little things she does without even trying make me feel like it's okay to not be okay in her presence. And that's really sweet.
It's okay not to be okay.
Anyway, our girl keeps harassing Beau by being super sexual when he's trying to hold himself together, aka she asks him while massaging his feet if he's ever had a threesome. She calls him a prude and ends up saying she will go ask someone else her sexual questions. And then we get this. Not a big fan of sharing something once I decide it's mine. And I'll start leaving the back door unlocked for when you decide you want to find out if I'm a prude or not. Her eyes widen and I can't help but imagine this is how she'd look as I slid my dick into her pretty mouth.
Oh my God, say less. Say motherfucking less.
It's warm. It's hot.
I'm sweating.
I'm in the camper van. I'm in his asshole. We learn that Bailey calls one of her vibrator Jensen Ackles. Same sis. But now they're all called Beau Eaton. Also same. We learn that Beau is bored of his life at the ranch and just wants to live. Him and Bailey decide to do something fun. They go get him some new shoes. The cashier is a girl Bailey knows and she's always rude to her, and Beau isn't having that. He ends up sending her back and forth to get so many shoes, and Bailey picks up on the fact that Beau is playing like silly buggers. Beau doesn't care. Jasper ends up calling Beau and is worried about him. He knows that this is a charade and doesn't want him to get hurt because he can see that Beau cares about her. Insert footnote, screams. We have another family bonding time moment, and I die at Harvey, which is, of course you'd side with a child. What am I supposed to do with a male goat? As Harvey stares at his son, it seems like everyone is holding their breath. Beau's hand tightens on my leg. I hope it leaves marks. I chance a glance over at him, noting the way he's lifted a fist over his mouth, bracing. Harvey makes a contemplative grumbling noise while scrubbing at his beard. Well, you could try milking the male goat, but it might get weird. Harvey. And I just love it at this moment because, like, literally Willa fucking loses it. Like, Willa spits her drink everywhere. Like, it's so fucking good. And I just love Harvey. He's such an idiot. I love it. Our girl finally gives up and decides to creep into Beau's house that night. When she gets in, she settles down on the couch and sees a butt-naked Beau in the kitchen.
Slay.
Naked butt slay. In the kitchen slay.
Georgia and Taylor just ready to crawl
Nake
up
slay. Nake slay in the kitch slay. It's too much. But Beau notices her but doesn't say anything until he's leaving. And then he's like, babes, there is a spare room upstairs. Kiss, kiss. Bailey ends up getting woken up at 2:11 by Beau screaming. Beau is screaming, hey, very loudly. It's very traumatic. And she ends up getting into bed with him and they cuddle. But when Beau wakes up, it's on. And they start fondling a little bit. And we get these quotes. There's a bundle of them. So, and I'd feel even better if you let me reach into these flimsy fucking shorts and make you come on my fingers. The dark part of me wants to flip her over and fuck her, impale her, and listen to her scream my name. You're fucking soaked. Yep. My dick is throbbing from feeling Bailey all tight and wet, riding my fingers. Good. Look at me, Bailey. You're going to come for me, Bailey, just like I told you to? There.
so spicy.
She's sweating. She's on fire.
Are you a jockey? Like
his feet are burning. My pussy's burning.
Oh, God, that's an STD.
I was like, that's an STD or a UTI, either way.
Yeah, maybe start with a topical cream and then see what fixes it.
He's burning up on the dance floor.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Beau thinks he took advantage of her. Like, when he wakes up, he's quite, you know, frazzled about this. And Bailey's like, babe, I think about sex 24 hours a day. If anything, I took advantage of you. He tells her that she can't come in there when she hears him having his nightmares. So Bailey decides the next night that she's not going to sit and listen to him. So she wakes up at 2 a.m. and they ended up going swimming in the lake. Bailey asks him about his dick size and we get this gasping moment, which is, trust me, Bailey, if you sat on it the other night, you'd still be feeling it today.
Okay. Say less.
Get in my caravan.
Yeah. Get in my camper trailer. Hell yeah.
Meet you in the trailer park in 10.
It's just his arsehole. So Bailey learns about 2:11 and how that's the time that Beau saved Micah and he knew that he wasn't going to make it out. We get a whole moment where Beau is complaining about his job at the moment and Bailey's like, babe, check your fucking privilege.
Slay Bailey. Put him in his place.
Which that's something that I love about their relationship is the fact that Bailey is still like, hey, I see your trauma. I see you for what you are, but I'm not going to belittle you here. Like, you can overcome this. You are strong. You can do it. And you don't need to sit there and just complain about everything. Like, look at your privilege. Look what you do have that you should be grateful for. It's ongoing, their little arrangement. And one night, Beau says, yeah, I actually do want to lose this bet, actually. I just like you, full stop. And then we get this moment. If you hadn't known I was a virgin, would you have fucked me? He fidgets now, hands grabbing at his beard as he groans, Jesus, Bailey, would you? He looks away down the river before turning back to me slowly. There's a sudden predatory vibe in the way he carries himself, in the way he moves thoroughly.
Ooh. Oh my God.
Big oof. Bailey calls Beau impulsive and he responds with, felt pretty impulsive when you came that hard on my fingers, Bailey. And fine, I'll take you wearing that. I wave a hand over her orange bikini. Since I'm so impulsive, I'll probably break the wrist of every fucker who so much as looks at you. Yeah, break the hands.
Yeah.
We then get one of my favorite quotes of the entire book, okay? Yes. I don't know how no one else sees her. It's like we're all staring at the same painting and every other person in this town is missing the point.
Oh my God, I just love him so much.
And then we follow that up with, because they're out in public and people are talking shit, obviously. So we follow that up with Beau saying, in public, talk shit about my fiance again. I fucking dare you. Oh, golly gosh.
I
love it.
I love it.
Beau and Bailey still haven't properly kissed, but boy, does Bailey wish they would. We get this quote, I haven't kissed her lips yet. I'm still not sure I should. Not sure I'll recover. Not sure I'll be able to walk away after that. Slay.
Bailey is back at home and she's spiraling. Beau has been out at Caden Willow's and he comes back and gives her back her stuffed horse, which makes our girl a little emotional. And she tells him about how she came to own her. They decide they're not going swimming tonight because Bailey's a sleepy gal and she asks Beau why he hasn't kissed her yet. Beau deflects and Bailey says, is there a reason you'd be okay with kissing my shoulder but not my lips? Is it me? I know people talk a lot of shit about me, but did I do something that? Bailey, don't finish that fucking sentence. Beau and Bailey finally kiss and we get the quote, for however long we kiss, I don't feel like dirty Bailey Jansen. I feel like a woman kissing a man who wants her, really wants her. He can't fake this. No one can fake this. No one is that good.
Oh my God.
She's got such... Her self-confidence is so downtrodden and I just want to protect her.
We must protect.
Beau then just ships her off to bed. He's like, all right, good night.
Nice work, team. Reconvene in the morn.
The next chapter, we get Bailey at another job interview and it's unsuccessful. She's frustrated and she heads to get a coffee and then we get our favourite gal, Willa. She puts some rude-ass dude in his place and we stan her. I love Willa. She's so funny. Bailey joins a boozy brunch with Willa, Summer and Sloane and gets to feel included and we get the quote, after all that's transpired today, it's nice to feel wanted.
You are wanted!
Oh my God, my sweet baby girl.
Baby girl.
Why do you guys sound like the fucking sex demons from Big Mouth? Baby girl. Demon. Take some bubble bath.
Oh, bubble bath.
I was thinking that vine where that kid is like, that's just my baby dog.
That's just my baby dog.
During the brunch, Summer is the real MVP and offers Bailey work at her gym, Big Slay. So we get a job offer and then we skip ahead a little and Bailey is texting Bo and being like, how should I save my pubic hair?
There's a reason we jumped ahead, and it's because this moment in the book, all right, where this book was coming, everyone was like, this is better than Cade's like jacuzzi spa. This.
It gave me, I cringed so hard, but I'm also like,
like I loved it.
It's Elsie a different.
Could put me in a paper bag, and I would be like, fantastic. I've never read better.
Definitely not the same as the jacuzzi. The jacuzzi is pure sex. That's sex. This is not sex. This is intimacy, and it's just so beautiful. It's not sexy. It's not supposed to be sexy. It's supposed to be intimate. I think that's where people get mixed up. I feel like they mislead you by being like, it's a jacuzzi. It's so much better. It's not. It's not even on the same level. No. It's different.
Yeah. All I can imagine is, like, everyone has tried to shave in a bath, I think, at some stage. And, you know, the water gets murky and then there's all, and that's all I can imagine in this moment.
It's got a snorkel on it. It's all right.
They're both covered in pubes.
It's a very large bath.
They're both covered.
So actually, quite small bath. His legs are out the end while his head's in the snorkel.
But his head's underwater.
Yeah.
He's making sure that he's still got his snorkel on.
Speaking of Bo, he decides that he wants to have a cold shower, but then he thinks maybe he'll just be a little bit helpful.
He's so helpful. He's so selfless.
We get a quote from him and it says, I'm scared of you becoming something I can't live without. Before kneeling down next to the bath. Bo and Bailey discuss what happened the other night and Bo tells her what he noticed about her. The noises you made, how wet you were, the way you shook when you came for me. So no, Bailey, I didn't give a fuck about this. I was too busy holding myself back from sliding into you and I am deceased.
Dead. Done.
Oh. I've died in the caravan.
I've died in his arsehole.
I've just died like a regular person. Not in a caravan, not in an arsehole.
Realise me being like, I've died in the caravan, it kind of is giving like dead possum in the roof vibes.
It is giving dead possum in the roof.
They have a cheeky little smoochy smooch before Bo proceeds to shave Bailey in the bath. I'm equal parts horrified and fascinated, if I'm honest. Bo asks Bailey what she'd do if he leaves her in the bath alone, and she says, probably play with myself until I come with your name on my lips. To which Bo responds, seems unfair that you get to play with this pretty pussy when I'm the one who's been down on his knees doing all the hard work.
Yes, he's been working so hard.
Oh my fucking God, sweet baby Jesus. Sweet baby girl.
In a bubble bath.
Bubble man.
Oh, bubble man.
We also get a quote from Bo that says, ask me to play with your pussy, let me hear it, and then rocks Bailey's absolute world before saying my favorite quote in the entire book, new rule Bailey, so long as you're wearing that ring, this pussy is mine. Screaming, crying, throwing up.
Fuck yeah.
It's all
dies.
We next get Bailey forgetting to set an alarm to go swimming and Bo asking her to stay with him in his bed. She agrees and helps him rub some moisturizer on his burning peats.
On the dogs.
You gotta get on the dogs.
Gotta get into the balls of the feet. Into the dogs. In between the dogs.
Bo opens up a bit about what happened when he was missing and reveals that to keep up his strength, he ate cockroaches and I wanna die.
I forgot about that.
Jump scare.
I think I'd blacked it out.
Oh. They'd be so crunchy. Oh. Little legs.
The little legs scuttling around.
No.
Yeah, in your tongue. They get stuck in between your teeth.
No.
They discuss some work stuff and Bo reveals that he wants to be a firefighter. The next night, Bo tells Bailey he's taking her out to the city and takes her to Willa's brother's bar. We finally meet Ford and I, for one, am so excited to get this book next year. Ford reveals he was told to be on the lookout for Willa's G.I. Joe brother-in-law and his jailbait fiance. And follows up with, for what it's worth, I think you make a lovely couple and my sister belongs in a straitjacket. Our main man is realizing tonight that he's falling for Bailey completely. They get back to his place and Bailey, who's never one to beat around the bush, tells Bo that she needs to masturbate. Bo proceeds to collect Bailey's toys and then instructs her how to suck on one and tells her to remove her shirt because I'm not staring at Madonna while I watch you fuck this toy.
Which, for context, she is wearing a Madonna t-shirt.
Yes, I missed that bit. I just got really excited.
She's not just put on a mask. I am Madonna.
Madonna.
She's like a virgin. Touch for the first time.
That worked so good.
Perfect.
Fitting. Beau proceeds to get Bailey all worked up and tells her, Bailey, baby, use your hands. Show me what you do. And honestly, I'm ready to just combust at this point.
Why?
I'm sure like bubble bubble.
Okay. Beau makes an absolute mess of Bailey, which she absolutely goes feral for. And while they're laying together after, Beau tells her, you're perfect, every inch, every look, every word. I'm so fucking hung up on you, it's not even funny. Beau's a bit stressed the next day and enlists bestie Jasper to help, and they have a frank conversation about his and Bailey's relationship. They go and sit at Bailey's bar. Bailey's low-key pissed with him because he left her in bed while she was sleeping this morning. She overhears Jasper tell Beau, you need to tell her, and she's stressing. Same. They make it back to Beau's place. Beau tells Bailey they need to talk. He then tells her that now that she has a secure job and she'll be able to save up to leave town, he'd like to end their arrangement early. Our girl is devastated because only yesterday he'd said how hung up on her he was. Bailey hands back her ring and just bails. She's like, couch, see you later.
Bailey bails.
She does. Bailey bails. It's like a whole alliteration type. Beau is big mad about her not letting him finish because, and I quote, I'm done pretending to be head over heels in love with you because I'm legitimately head over heels in love with you, and acting like I'm not tears me up.
Oh, screaming, crying, throwing up.
I love them so much. Bailey is absolutely shook, and Beau pops the ring back on her finger, kicks the door open, marches her upstairs, and then says, strip, and I've actually ceased to exist on this.
I've stripped. Suddenly.
We're all naked.
Inside his arsehole.
Yeah. So, Bailey is shocked. Me, on the other hand, I'm already naked because when Beau Eden says strip, I don't need to get the second syllable. So then Beau says, was there a part of that order you didn't understand, Bailey? And as we've all established, we just simply cease to exist. They kiss and they know it's happening, and Bailey says that she thinks Beau is the only person to ever love her, and our hearts collectively break. She deserves so much better.
She does.
Beau decides that he should just continue to prove his love to her by going to dinner on Bailey's clip.
Bobby Eaton.
Just to show you how much Beau Eaton came to play, we get these quotes. Am I the first to do this to you? Yes. I'm going to be the only one to do this to you, Bailey. Mark my words. And then,
yes.
Should I add another finger, Bailey? Get you nice and ready to take my cock?
Yes.
And then, come for me, baby. Let me see it. Yes.
Yes.
When she comes, he leans back and stares into her third eye, saying he will never tire of this view.
He's glistening. He's got glistening juices all over his face, all over his fingers.
Just...
And he's like, oh my gosh.
That's a good one.
He gets her to suck herself off of his fingers, and then Bailey pinches his nipples, which, like, weird power move, but okay.
Now, who's boss, bitch?
Who's your mommy?
Who's your mommy?
They then decide to do some self-care and align her throat chakra with Beau's cock as he walks her through giving him the world's best coffee. But now it's time for P in the V, as they are both so invested in filling her up. And we discover that Bailey really enjoys Beau telling her what to do. So he does just that and says, well, in that case, quit fucking around and sit on my cock, Bailey. Yes.
Yes, yes, sir.
Slay. She impales herself on his dick. And when Beau says, atta girl, ride me, again, I am dead. She comes and he flips her over and she gives him permission and he literally pounds into her. The bed is shaking and he finishes and says, I love you. And she has never felt more cherished.
Because her cherry be popping.
Her cherry's gone. It's been obliterated in that.
Obliterated.
It's left the caravan.
Yeah, it's left its arsehole.
It's swimming in the river.
Look.
It's got little arms.
It's gone downstream. It's gone. Beau is then massaging Bailey and washing her hair and every other part of her with a reverence that is unparalleled. Beau is just so thankful for her and keeps saying, I love you, without the expectation of her saying it back. Like, especially when no one has ever shown her real love. And the fact that he just gets that is just... Oh, it's so amazing. It's fine.
I just feel like their love is unparalleled.
Yeah.
Anyone.
Mm-hmm. They remind me of when Willa gives Cade the option.
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah.
We cry tears.
We cry from my third eye. So Bo wakes up at 3:26 a.m. because the vibes are iffy and it's her fucking brothers trying to break into her caravan, which is a bit weird when we've made all these innuendos about what the caravan is.
Innuendo.
Apparently. Bo gets his hunting rifle and goes to have like a super friendly chat with them, and it's hot, and I'm not going to pretend that at this moment I'm not about the use of guns, okay? Because he says, harass her again and I'll paint my driveway with your brains. You won't be the first man I've killed, but you could easily be the last.
He could kill
gun violence
me.
Never did it for me, but suddenly I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Suddenly. You want to use that gun
to carry
as a...
And-
He's been packing.
Pack that up in me.
As they scramble away, Bo knows that as long as Bailey is in Chestnut Springs, her brothers will always target her. And we flash forward and Bo is talking to the local fire department about what to do with himself while Bailey is still, like, just trying to figure out how to deal with all these feelings and the fact that she still wants out of Chestnut Springs. But now we cue the third act drama because Bo shows up to watch Bailey work, but her brothers are there causing drama. And, like, Bo is making all these, like, mental notes about the bar, like the brass push bar across it looks a little worse for wear. I make a note of that, and then I march back out to the parking lot, freshly paved so the place isn't so fucking dusty all the time. And then I wave her back with me going around the building to the little shed at the back where we keep the empty kegs. Pickups happen on Monday, so there's nothing in here right now. And it's like, bye.
I love how you picked up on that.
Now I was like, there's drama.
Literally, I was like, suddenly they're fucking, and I was like, cool.
On the kegs.
Georgia was like, that's a place where they can fuck. I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm. Picking up the vibes. So I was like, Bo, what you doing, boy? Either way, we forget about that for a moment because now it's time to distract an emotional Bailey with some Bo-Bo dick. And I am...
Bo-Bo dick. It's like go-go.
Go-go. Bo-Bo sick. And I'm also like dying at the quote. I want her with a violence I've never experienced, with a ferocity that shocks me.
Oh.
It's hot shed sex time. And we get these quotes. I want you to walk back in there knowing that you're mine, no matter what happens, no matter what anyone says. I want you to walk back in there looking freshly fucked so that no one questions a single thing about us, especially not you. And Bailey's like, Bo, there are customers. She trails off as I yank her jeans down her firm thighs, leaving them stretched there, and run my fingers over her panties. Bailey, shut up and let me fuck what belongs to me. We can talk later.
Oh my god.
Claims her and literally smacks that ass before saying, atta girl, come on my dick. Bo is determined to give her the world, and when they walk back into the bar, he watches her shrink again, and well, that like tips him over the edge. Bo kicks her brothers and dad out of the bar because actually it's his bar and his property. Bailey is reeling from the fact that Bo has been her boss for several years now, the one thing that felt like hers wasn't, and it breaks her, and Bailey goes ham on them and any innocent bystanders who want to give her shit. Bo like refuses to leave, and so Bailey quits. Bailey goes home to wallow in the sense of betrayal as she hides in her caravan, and like Bo is like calling out to her as he searches the property, and oh my god, my heart. Bo like explains that he bought the bar to protect her all those years ago, and he's been a silent investor ever since.
Oh.
Bo.
Bailey asks for space, and Bo is like, yeah, babe, absolutely. He just takes it and like, yes, that's hot. Mm-hmm. I've set a boundary, and you're like, absolutely, babe, I will maintain that. Say less. Next morning, Bo brings her breakfast and her tips from last night because he worked her shift for her. He also brought in this envelope of cash as people in town realized they were actually being quite shit cunts and felt a bit guilty before their behavior. This cycle continues for a while as Bo just like keeps showing up for her but also giving her the space. Bailey goes to like drive into town one day to look at campus and rental homes, and Bo like catches a ride with her because, plot twist, he is talking to the fire department in the city about starting a job with them. Bailey asks him why, and he's like, well, I love you. Duh. Just make sure, like, whatever house you look at has space for, like, family dinners. Oh. This sends Bailey into, like, a whole new moon-esque, it's a possibility, stare off at the campus. But then also out of the windshield as she just stares at Bo, who's just, like, sitting on a bench enjoying the sunshine, like, having a great time. She's just like, he got offered the job because of his skills and, like, not his family name, and he apologizes for taking that feeling from her. The understanding of your actions and then apologizing, it's just too much. Bailey starts crying like we all do, and he just holds her, and he just says that no one has ever shown up for her and that he loves her and wanted to do that for her to show her what that's like. And she says she loves him, and the quote we get is, "I told you once that I don't think anyone has loved me before, but I don't think I've ever really loved anyone either. His thumbs swipe at my cheeks, brushing away the tears that drip over my skin. That's okay, baby. I can be your first," he says. And then he kisses me. "The first, last, and only man to love me. And I'm okay with that."
Oh my God.
Flash forward, and Bo and Bailey host family dinner at their new home, and they tell everyone Bo's moving out of Chestnut Springs, which, like, absolutely no one is surprised at. Surprised though, because Harvey and Cordelia say that they are a thing, they're like, "Yeah, this is happening. So sorry, Ellie, wherever you are." Because you
Ellie
fucking
would be
hated that.
Fucking turning in her grave, even though she's not dead.
Pre-turning in her grave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Sloane announces that she is pregante. Anyways, fucking epilogue time. It's Kate and Willa's wedding, and hello, Mr. Ford Grant. Can't wait to get to know you better, sir. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
And Bo and Bailey say that they will get married at their creek one day, and you better believe that that's what the fucking exclusive chapter on the website is about. Sobs and matrimony.
Sobs and matrimony.
Sobs and matrimony.
That's it. That's end scene on the Chestnut Springs series.
Chesley.
In terms of music references, as per usual, there is a playlist in the book, and there is no fan art, which also sad face. Obviously, before this episode comes out, we had a week with no episode, and there will be a couple more of those before the end of the year, because we're busy fucking people, all right?
We are. We've been busy. Things are happening. And we're also reading chunky-ass fucking books at the end of this year.
We are beginning our pre-House of Flame and Shadow warm-up, right? So coming up next, we are starting with House of Earth and Blood, and then we are doing House of Sky and Breath, and they will be the last two books we are covering for this year.
Thank you always to Caitlin and Taylor, our special guests. This is the last time you're going to see them this year.
I had the best time as per usual. I'm here for the chaos.
Otherwise, we will see you next time you see our faces here. I don't know why that had to be so hard.
Nah, fuck it up.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to our podcast. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube if you haven't already at A Book and a Bev Podcast. Please rate, like, and subscribe. We hear that helps. We love and appreciate you, and we'll see you next week.